Hi, friends. Welcome to another edition of In the Red Zone, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, recording on a Tuesday afternoon. I guess I should tribute that to my favorite group, the Moody Blues, but we digress. Rob Witham here. A great first night of action. I know weather wreaked a lot of havoc on field hockey matches. Some of them only got halfway through or three quarters through. And some of us got unexpectedly wet last night. We were at a very exciting volleyball match. Boys volleyball opener between Atlee and Douglas Freeman. Raiders at home storm out to a two-set lead, and then Freeman comes storming back, forcing the fifth-set tiebreaker, and they win it to get a win on the road. If you were there last night, or maybe you're one of the members of the team and you didn't know, we had the tiebreaker on Instagram Live last night. It's there anytime on demand. Hope you're following us on Instagram, instagram.com/RVA Sports Network. It's where you will find the final word. Weeknights after 10:30, we give you all the scores and all the news and all the pertinent stats that we have in from games and coaches, etc. And then Friday nights, of course, in the fall, the final word football edition, and we will have final word on exactly which social media platform we're going to be on. For that coming up in the next couple of days. On this edition, we drop our first RVA Sports Network Super 12 high school football poll for 2022. But first, something we've been promising here for the last several weeks, and we're finally going to make good on it. We put a lid and a cap on the 2021-22 season with the top 10 moments, and they're not necessarily in order, except I believe number one should be number one, and we'll explain here in a minute. But these are just events and happenings that happened this past year that either we were there live to see it happen, or it was such an event, such a moment that needed to be remembered. So here they are, beginning at number 10. We want to give a big salute to Del Harris and everybody else who works with 804 Coaches for Change. They've done a phenomenal, phenomenal job the last 2 years coming out of that very difficult summer of 2020, working with youth throughout the Richmond area, but certainly in the city of Richmond, giving avenues to, you know, not only just to play sports, but to learn so much about life. What great direction. Coaches already do a phenomenal job in terms of being life coaches more than they are volleyball or football or tennis or whatever coaches. But to have that organization together, and when they took the next step and had their first ever two-day basketball invitational back just before Christmas, we were glad to be at the second day of that event, and it was so much fun. And it was great to see that burgeoning organization continue to work. And they just finished a couple of open houses. One was last Friday night. And so we salute 804 Coaches for Change as they continue to grow and take the next step. Number nine in our moments, a winner in overtime, Toscano to Ferguson, after they had connected on a touchdown in overtime. Then they decided to go for two in the BISAA State Division I Football Championship last November, and the same connection gave Trinity Episcopal their first ever state title in Division I and their first state championship since winning the Division II title back in 2015. Coach Sam Mickens and the Titans, and you're going to hear a lot from them coming up this season. We'll be talking about that when we reveal the poll in just a couple of moments. At number eight, you could kind of tell something special was happening at Highland Springs High School late one night in February when the Springers and Glenn Allen, two surprise teams, met for the Class 5 Regency Boys Basketball Championship. And Highland Springs got the win over Glenn Allen, and they wasted no time going to cut down their own nets. Now, you know, some of you see that and you think, oh, that's a region title, man. Don't you want to wait and cut? Of course, they don't let you cut the nets down at the Siegel Center, but, you know, hypothetically, don't you want to wait and do it then? But there was just something special about that run, even at that point. So when they went on to win the Class 5 state championship, did not surprise us whatsoever. So cutting down the nets to celebrate the region at Highland Springs and that Cinderella run is number eight. At number seven, we have been there and seen when Atlee boys lacrosse came up just short. Unbelievable to think that they played in three, maybe four state championships, and they lost all of them by a single goal. But they finally put that to bed back in June. Boy, June the 11th was a busy day. We were over at another event that's in our top 10, and we'll reveal that in a minute. But to get the news that Atlee had finally won the state championship, they took the Class 4 title for Coach Fielding Crawford and for the Raiders, not just the ones on that team, but all the Atlee Raiders who have come before them. You know, I think of Dylan Rice, and I could begin, if I start trying to name everybody, I'll forget very important players I know. But, yeah, that was such good news to see come across when that final came through. Atlee, congratulations to you. At number six, more history in lacrosse. Last year, 2021, Douglas Freeman hosted the state championship game. You'll recall in 2021, there were no jamborees in the spring because of COVID-19 and teams had, you know, home field, whatever. Then ironically enough, the next year, the team Douglas Freeman beat to win their first ever state title, Riverside, was the already predetermined neutral site for the Class 5 Girls State Championship. And so Freeman had to turn around and go play Riverside on their field. And they took an early lead. And to me, the moment of that day was not when the horn sounded and they won back-to-back state titles, but when they took the lead early. They forced tempo. They forced their game on Riverside, did a tremendous job, and then just held them off the rest of the way. So to Coach D'Angelo and to the Mavericks, history back-to-back state titles, which, of course, has never happened before until now in lacrosse, VHSL-wise, here in the RVA. Top five moments, we get to number five. I like to call this one Damon Claiborne, pick a run. He had a million of them. It seemed like every Friday night he broke one open, 60, 70, 80 yards, leading King William all the way to the state Class 2 championship back in December. I cannot wait to see him in action at Wake Forest. That is going to be so much fun. So it's several moments wrapped into one. Pick your favorite touchdown run for Damon Claiborne of King William. At number four, two of the more talented high school girls basketball players reached the 1,000 within 24 hours. Faith Henderson at Powhatan and then Logan Knuckles at Patrick Henry. And you got to remember, they suffered through the COVID-19 pandemic. And so they did not play a full four-year complement of games for their respective teams. Had Logan had full seasons all 4 years, she probably would have threatened Taylor Huber's all-time total at Patrick Henry, which I believe is 1,680 points. Logan was right about 1,400. Excuse me. And then, you know, Faith, you know, being coached by her mom, and Powhatan having such a just an impressive year last year. Faith, I believe, now down at CNU. Logan Knuckles will be playing for Campbell University. So back-to-back nights, 1,000-point scores, even in the midst of COVID. Congratulations to both of them. Number three, we have it on tape, not only on video, but audio for all time. The Cousins kick for Verina on Saturday after Black Friday, with the seconds ticking away to give Verida the region championship win over Patrick Henry in just an unbelievable game that we were so blessed to be able to bring you live on Rejoice 101.3 FM, 990 AM, and the RVA Sports Network. Just to have the presence of mind at the high school level, this is not easy. Yeah, there's no timeouts. The clock's running out. You got to get your field goal unit in there. You got to get set. You got to make sure you got 11 guys on the field. And Cousins just very calmly split the upright. And Verina won that game on their way to the state championship. The Cousins kick at number three. At number two, I have to describe it for you. It was June 11th, and we were at Riverbend High School. And within about 20 minutes of each other, it was Hanover softball winning their first state championship in 16 years, 1-0 the win over Tuscarora. And for Hanover baseball, it was more of a kind of a coronation because you may know and you may not. They went 23-2 in 2022. The two losses were to teams from California that they faced during spring break at the USA Baseball Invitational, the National Invitational that is played down in Raleigh, North Carolina. On Virginia soil, Hanover went 21-0. And in their playoff run, they outscored their opponents 57-3. There was only one game in the playoffs where Hanover gave up runs, and that was the state semifinal against Jefferson Forest. So baseball had won the title, and they were celebrating on the field. And you look up, and the softball stadium, if you've never been at Riverbend High School in Spotsylvania, you come down a hill, and softball's on one plateau, and then you come down to the bottom of the hill, and that's where the baseball field is. So as baseball was beginning to celebrate with their trophy, here came the softball team down the hill with their trophy. And, of course, we got pictures of both teams holding both trophies together, and what an incredible moment for Hanover High School. And to be able to have it happen at the same location, and we were able to catch the final outs of both of those games. Makes me sadder that Prince George didn't have that opportunity back in 2018 when they won the state baseball and softball titles, but the games were held at two different locations. So Hanover softball baseball trophy time, our number two moment. And our top moment of the 2021-22 high school season, and it's appropriate to talk about it right now. I want to tell you that this moment happened thousands of times. It happened in July of 2021. It happened again in November, and it happened again in February. And for some other players who maybe started the season late due to injuries or whatnot, it could have been September, could have been December, could have been March, even April or May. But any time a student athlete stepped onto their playing surface for the first practice of the year, be it a diamond, be it a field, be it a gym, a wrestling mat, a swimmer going into the pool, wherever and whatever it was, the number one moment of this past high school sports season was our ability to get back to action. And you'll recall 1 year ago, we were still in the mask up situation and social distancing, and there were a lot of things that had to be changed, especially in the fall and the winter seasons. Things began to ease up a bit when we got into the spring. So a kudos to all the school officials, all the principals, all the director of student activities, coaches, assistant coaches, trainers, custodial staff. We could never have a high school sports season without them. They are part of the backbone of what we are able to enjoy. And to all of them, we say thank you for working so very hard through such a difficult time. And our number one moment of the 2021-22 school year, just the ability to step on the field. Now, let's turn the page, shall we? 2022-23 is underway. Our first football game's coming up on Thursday night, week one quickly approaching game night. And here is the first RVA Sports Network Super 12 High School Football Poll of 2022. There were 20 teams considered for these 12 spots, and here's how they go. At number 12, the Trojans of Midlothian, not only making the playoffs, but winning a playoff game for the first time ever. Cooper Meads is back at quarterback. And we think in a year where they're going to be able to have a very good schedule, they're going to be in just about every Dominion District game that they play. They can go in confident that they can win. I know that a lot of people already are penciling Highland Springs in as the number one seed in Region 5C, and I get that. I understand that. Still have to play the games. But the race is really going to be right behind there. If you can finish two or three and avoid the Springers to the region championship, you know, get two wins before you have to handle them. You know, Midlothian is going to put their hat in the ring, along with obviously Hermitage and others too, such as our number 11 team, which we'll get to in a moment. But I'm really excited to see not only now Midlothian has built into a program, and now I want to see them extend. And I believe that, they are going to do that this year. At number 11, also Class 5 Region C, a team that came 8 points short in terms of beating Hermitage in the regular season. And that is the Mavericks of Douglas Freeman. Coach Bland does a tremendous job on Three Chapter Road. There's just no doubt about that. And we will most likely have a game involving Freeman on High School Football Friday night coming up this fall on Rejoice 101.3 FM, 990 AM, and on the RVA Sports Network online. Look forward to seeing what Douglas Freeman will be in 2022. So Midlothian at 12, Douglas Freeman at 11. At number 10, and some people may think this is a little low, at number 10, Manchester. Now, Manchester is going to open at Highland Springs next Thursday night, September 1st. They've already scrimmaged Verina. Tom Hall will have them rough and ready. There's no doubt about that. And there are a lot of playmakers on the team. But there is a change at quarterback, and it's going to be a youth movement. And if that change goes without a hitch, and some of you may be thinking, okay, well, where's Cody Shelton? He transferred to Life Christian Academy, so he is no longer at Manchester. If Manchester settles the quarterback situation and they are able to give him plenty of time in the pocket, then I think Manchester will probably fly up the pole, and you know, depending upon how things go in week one. But there is a youth movement question there at Manchester. Are they a team that could go 8-2, 9-1, 10-0? Yeah, there is. Although I believe that they will be the underdog on opening night, and they have some other tests as well. But it's a team that I'm very intrigued by, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they unfold, especially post opening night with Highland Springs. Another team with a great pedigree, but some question marks at number 9 is Patrick Henry. You think about it. The Patriots of Patrick Henry are two plays away from a state championship game and a state semifinal game. 2019, 2021. Two plays. That's how close they've come. Coach Ken Wakefield, for my money, is one of the best in the business. I was in high school at Patrick Henry when the guy by the name of Ray Long took over. And he took a team that did nothing for a decade or more. And they were 7-3 their first season and a playoff team in their second in my junior year of high school. Ken Wakefield does not remind me of Ray Long. They have different styles of coaching and demeanor and whatnot. But their results are incredibly similar. And if anything, Coach Wakefield is a little bit ahead of where Coach Long was going into season number 3, full season number 3. But Jordan Allen, Christian Berry, Camden Bird, Jaden Mines, all seniors, all gone. What will the Patriots do in terms of finding weapons that can be consistent? Now, they open with Mills Godwin, they go to Glen Allen, they host Deep Run, then they get into the Capital District. Can they go 3-0 at the start? I think if they do, then you can expect the same thing that Patrick Henry has done the last two full seasons again this year. Because that 3-week period will give them a time to try to test things and figure things out. They do have a very veteran presence along the lines, which is huge. But it's going to be a question of how they can get those new weapons to replace the departed graduated seniors, get them to working. So Patrick Henry at 9. Just ahead of them, the Generals of Dinwiddie. They've had some disappointments in the playoffs the last few years, and they are ready to erase that and do what Dinwiddie does so well, and that is make a deep run in the postseason. Region 4B is going to be just unbelievable again this year, as it was last year. You know, Verina had to, in the first round, had to go to overtime to knock off Powhatan just to survive to the next week. You got King George in the mix again this year. You got Patrick Henry, we just talked about a moment ago. Our first game coming up Thursday night, Matoaka is going to try to prove that they are not a one-season or one-hit wonder, as it were. And Dinwiddie in the Central District going to have to deal with Hopewell, going to have to deal with Thomas Dale, and going to have to deal with Matoaka. So I'm interested to see how Dinwiddie finally bounces back, and I think this could be the year they do it. They are at number 8. Just ahead of them, one of the rivals we just talked about, and that's Hopewell. Hopewell at 7. Deshaun Henderson now taking over. Of course, he played a lot in 2021, but he's going to be the man, along with Mason Cumbie, in that offense for Hopewell. And they start against Verina at Verina coming up. That'll happen Friday night while we are live in Charlotte with Highland Springs and J.L. Chambers. Hopewell at 7. We've got two very good private school teams in this area. And we talked a little bit about this on Twitter over the summer, you know, the what-ifs If we had public-private games, you know, what would be the top games? Which one would you want to see the most? Well, Benedictine comes in at number 6. They were one play away from a state championship last year, but it was Trinity's two-point conversion that we mentioned earlier in our top 10 moments that gave them the state title. But Benedictine is loaded coming back, and they'll have a lot to say because opening day is at their place, Trinity to Benedictine, on Saturday afternoon. I wish we could be there, but we will be driving back from Charlotte, North Carolina on Saturday. We'll be eagerly awaiting updates from those who are at the contest, that is for sure. Benedictine, number 6. Here's your top 5. We begin with the Panthers of Hermitage. They come in at 5. Jeremiah Coney, bring it on. I can't tell you how many years we have covered Hermitage High School, and the first person you talk about is the star tailback. So here we go. Hermitage with Henrico in their opener. They're going to get Verina September 16th before they head into the Colonial District, and they want to prove that they can give Highland Springs a shot in terms of Region 5C. Hermitage is back. So glad they took the interim tag off of Timothy Jean-Pierre. Fantastic coach and a Herm guy. So it just makes sense that he's at the helm at Chester Fritz. Hermitage at number 5. Number 4, Ethan Minter and the Thomas Dale Knights. I think Ethan is going to take a bigger jump at quarterback in this, his junior year, than probably, and I'm going out on a limb saying this, any other quarterback in the region. Now, we talked with Zach Joachim of the Times-Dispatch and 804 Varsity today, as we record this Tuesday, for an interview you will hear halftime Thursday night at the Glen Allen Metoica game. And I asked him about, it feels like we're going into a golden age of quarterbacks here in the area. And I really believe that. And most of them that we are looking at and focusing on are underclassmen this year. There's some seniors, but man, there's some great talent. And I think Ethan Minter is among the tops. Health has been off and on, always an issue for the Knights team for some reason. They had to overcome major COVID issues last year, as well as, you know, just in past years recently, just, you know, key injuries, nagging injuries to be. I remember Chris Tyree had a nagging injury his senior year. And so we'll see. Nick Tyree will have a good season. I'm thinking that. Thomas Dale, I think they could do some very good things this year, and they are at 4. Number 3, these defending VISAA state champs in Division I, the Titans of Trinity Episcopal. They're loaded. Now, they are in a similar situation with Manchester in that the difference is Trinity has a lot more seniors in key positions. But they, too, with Tegan Logan, have a youngster at quarterback. He got playing time in 2021. How will that translate 2022, especially with his, you know, first start on the road at Benedictine? But Trinity is loaded. Sam Mickens, spend an afternoon with him and his staff, and you'll be ready to crash through a wall for them. I mean, they're just so much fun to be around and talk to. And Trinity's for real. Now, they got a huge test Saturday for game 1, number 3 against number 6 in our poll. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. But Trinity Episcopal, put some respect on that name, Sam Mickens told the Times-Dispatch after the championship last year. And we indeed do, putting them at 3rd. Well, you knew the top 2 were going to be from the east end of Henrico County. The question is, in which way? One area poll has Verina on top. Another area poll has Highland Springs. What do we have? Well, we are a big believer that going into a new season, that if you're the defending state champions and the other team in the conversation is a team you defeated last year, though last year doesn't necessarily translate to this year, we don't have any results yet this year, you deserve to be number 1 if you're the state champ. So Verina's number 1, and right behind them at number 2 is Highland Springs. Now, we'll have Highland Springs live Friday night. We will be live in Charlotte, North Carolina, to bring you all the action. Highland Springs and Julius L. Chambers, a team that's already 1-0. They won their opener last Saturday in Rock Hill, South Carolina, at an invitational doubleheader. They took on Cardinal Gibbons and won 28-14. So they're 1-0. They got that one game of experience under their belt that Highland Springs will not have. But Christian Martin and company, remember what happened last year, the narrow defeat to Chambers at the new Crider. And they're going to want revenge. And we can't wait to bring it to you. 6:30 Friday night, 101.3 FM, 990 AM, RejoiceRichmond.com, RVASportsNetwork.com, and on Alexa, just say play Rejoice Richmond. So Highland Springs at 2, and Verina, deservedly, I believe, at number 1. Now, they'll get tested early with the Hopewell game coming up on Friday. Then they have Glen Allen 2 weeks after that, Hermitage. And, of course, the big one, Verina Highland Springs, will be on a Thursday night this year on November the 3rd to wrap up the regular season. But the Blue Devils have so many players back. Yes, they lost an impactful senior class, one that probably may be considered one of the most impactful senior classes in Verina football history. Because if you go back about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, there were a couple of years where Verina had a hard time making the postseason, and they had just a war of attrition with injuries and whatnot, and they were starting third-string players. You know, we're talking going back 2015, 2016, etc., in the midst of watching their arch rivals win 4 straight state championships. Then Coach Brown decides to retire. You got to make a decision on how to replace him. Marcus Lewis has done a phenomenal job there at Verina, and I'm looking forward to great things for them again this year. And until somebody knocks them off, I believe they should begin at number 1. So our Super 12 poll preseason, Verina 1, Highland Springs 2, Trinity Episcopal 3, Thomas Dale and Hermitage round up the first 5, then Benedictine, Hopewell, Dinwiddie, Patrick Henry, Manchester round out the first 10, Douglas Freeman 11, Midlothian 12. I mentioned there were 20 teams in the running in terms of those that we considered before making the poll official. And those other teams, we call them on the cusp. Metoica, no doubt about that. Powhatan, no doubt about that. Louisa, Goochland, Glen Allen, L.C. Byrd, Atlee, and Hanover. So there you have it. We are ready for football season. Thursday night, several games. Friday night, a ton of games. Thursday night, we're live at Metoica. We'll have Glen Allen at Metoica Thursday night at 6:30. And then Friday night at 6:30, live from Charlotte, North Carolina, it will be Highland Springs and Julius L. Chambers. Listen at 101.3 FM, 990 AM. At RVASportsNetwork.com, RejoiceRichmond.com, and again, you can also listen on any Alexa-enabled device. Just say play Rejoice Richmond. It's good to be back, my friends. So good to be back. Now, our podcast moves to Sundays beginning this weekend. So our next In the Red Zone podcast will be on Sunday to review week 1 of the high school football season, have our new Super 12 poll, and other high school news and other news, as well as I've got Randolph-Macon College right on the horizon. First night there will be Thursday, September 1st, broadcasting both field hockey and soccer, and opening night for football at Day Field a week from Saturday night, September 3rd, 6 o'clock kick, 5:30 airtime, also on Rejoice and the RVA Sports Network, as the Yellow Jackets will take on North Carolina Wesleyan from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. First time these two teams have ever met in regular season play. Thanks so much for being with us, friends. Happy high school sports season. I'm excited that it's back and appreciate you coming for the ride here on the RVA Sports Network. In the Red Zone, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, and it's solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC, a.k.a. my wife, yeah, she's the owner, is strictly prohibited. Thanks so much for being with us. We will talk to you Thursday night from Metoica and Friday night from Charlotte, North Carolina.